You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Those are the words of Stephen A., not mincing any words, not like he ever does, with Sage Steele on SportsCenter last night, talking about the big news that completely overshadowed the draft, and that is that Klay Thompson suffered a right leg injury yesterday in Southern California. MRI on the way. Steve Kerr and the trainers on the way from NoCal to SoCal to see what happens with the result and to be with Klay. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott in the house this morning. J. Will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line in just one moment. Game 6, 2019 Finals, Key. It's been 519 days since we've seen Klay Thompson on a court. The last time we saw him, he was limping off with an ACL injury. Now it could be an ACL, it could be an Achilles, it could be worse, it could be hopefully not as serious as that. We're all holding our breath, as is Warriors Nation. So just hours before they draft James Wiseman, who hasn't played a minute for them, they bring in Klay Thompson, who since he entered the league is essentially top 10 in minutes played. You may not think that with all the blowouts the Warriors have had over the years, but this is a very durable, generally speaking, player, except for these last two. And now the Warriors wake up this morning wondering whether we're going to come back off the 15-50 season. We got Steph, we got Klay, we got a rejuvenated Dre because those two guys are back. Now it's all up in the air.
It is, but hopefully it's a Nick Foles injury,
right,
or hopefully it's a Paul Pierce injury, right? Where, oh, nothing's wrong. Oh, okay, he's fine. He'll get a little ice, he'll be okay. Hopefully that's the case. And because it's a shame, you mentioned how long he's been off, almost 17 months of not playing in the NBA. You look at it and you just go, man, I feel bad for him. It's the same that I have this feeling, the same way I've felt when Kevin Durant hurt himself and when Klay hurt himself last year. The only thing you could think of, or 17 months ago, the only thing you could think of is, like, damn, I feel bad for them. I mean, that's just, you know, because the first thing that comes to mind is, what's going to happen when they resume their career? Will they be the same? Whether it's the ACL for Klay and it was the Achilles for KD, what are they going to be like when they come back? Now, we're looking at another injury. And I think the injury probably has something to do with a little compensation, because you see this a lot with ACLs. Guys have an ACL surgery on one leg, and then all of a sudden they're compensating, and then something goes wrong with the other leg, Zubin.
Indeed. Jay Will joins us now this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So, Jay, I thought the first thing for sure we were going to ask you about this morning is the draft, which you were front and center on last night. But it felt like the draft became somewhat of a secondary issue when this Klay news came down. What are your thoughts about all this?
Well, when I first heard the first report from Sham that it was a lower extremity issue, I automatically got concerned. And then actually, you know, I then saw our text chain, because Key reported it to all of us that it was his right leg. I then found out later throughout the night that it was potentially his Achilles on his right leg. So, you know, obviously when you compensate after having one injury to one leg, these things sometimes happen. I absolutely hated that it went to Klay, that it happened like that to him. But automatically in that moment, when we were talking about the draft, I said, if you're Bob Myers right now, you have to assemble the plane on your way down after you jumped off the cliff, because this changes the whole dynamic of your team. We had talked about before about this team potentially packaging Andrew Wiggins and the second pick for another player, a superstar. So that totally threw that scenario out the window. And, you know, Jay Billiston talked about, hey, stay cool, stay calm, whatever your plan was, stick with it. And I was a little bit different than that. I didn't think you could stick with your plan, because Klay Thompson was playing a huge part of your plan. Now Andrew Wiggins had to be cemented in your plan. I thought they should have either traded down the pick. Chicago wanted to give them a Wendell Carter, so that could have given you a big, and you could have gotten the fourth pick in the draft, which I would have went for a guy like Denny Avita, who is from overseas, who was a talented, you know, 6'8", 6'9", wing player who can drive, get to the rim defensively, kind of could give you somewhat similar to what Klay Thompson had. Or I would have went with LaMelo Ball, the second pick in the draft. I would not have stayed with James Wiseman, who, along pair with Draymond Green, I love James Wiseman as a talent, but I just don't know if he'll be utilized the same way if you don't have the three-point shooting around him of Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry combined together. So I thought LaMelo Ball would have been the answer or trade down the pick. I would not have chosen James Wiseman.
So Jay, I know you alluded to, you know, the way that they went about doing things. Do you think, though, with the injury to Klay, that it completely changed their course and what they were going to do?
Well, Key, I don't know to what information were they privy to, because I mean, he still has to get an MRI. But obviously, you know, if you're hearing it's Achilles, that doesn't sound good. But then do you make a knee-jerk reaction? Do you take another playmaker? Do you take a defensive guy? I think it had to factor in. I mean, all this stuff happened literally minutes before the draft. Minutes before the NBA draft with the second pick, with a team that was already somewhat, you felt, indecisive with what they wanted to do. So I'm sure that threw a major haymaker into the whole equation.
Didn't they need all along, if they were going to compete with the Clippers and the Lakers in the West, they needed a somewhat of a center, so to speak, a stretch four? Didn't they need that?
Look, I think it's easy, Key, to be like, hey, you have Anthony Davis, you have Jokic, you have Nurkic, you have a lot of these incredible bigs in the Western Conference. They did get an extremely talented piece of the equation, but there are a lot of serviceable bigs out there, guys. There's a lot of serviceable bigs on the free agency market. They maybe not give you the same versatility of skill set that James Wiseman would have given you, but ultimately, you know, look, Stephen Curry has been known that when he has to assume volume, right, the major load, he's had injuries, guys. Like, it happened once again this year when Klay Thompson was out. Like, he had another injury. And we've seen this before in his past history, ankle injuries before he got Klay and things of that sort. So, you know, my thing is, Steph is better when he's around other playmakers. So then the question becomes, Key, with this unit in particular, who is the playmaker? That's Stephen Curry all the time. He has to make everybody else's job easier. And I know that, you know, with LaMelo Ball, you might have two defensive liabilities on the court together, but you have two incredible playmakers. And that's what allows Steph to thrive as well when he can play off somebody else that understands how to play and can keep everybody involved with his passing ability. And that was LaMelo Ball.
You know, Jay Will, you're a basketball savant. You know, you forgot more about basketball than I would ever know. But I want to talk about the asset, and we have to talk about him asset because this is a business. Klay Thompson going forward with these two major injuries, you know, do you think that he can come back, understanding that his game was below the rim? You know, we have the same issues and same questions about Kevin Durant, the fact that their game isn't predicated off, you know, playing above the rim like a Russell Westbrook. How do you think, you know, this plays for him going forward in his future? He's 30 years old, two major injuries, but they have a lot invested in him going forward.
Man, we got a stat last night from our stats and researcher guy that, you know, out of all the miles that he runs, the most miles there is in the NBA, right? Consecutively, like, up and down the court, back and forth. So now you had a left knee ACL injury. You potentially are going through an MRI to see if you have a torn Achilles. Look, I know technology is different, Bart. I know guys can come back from injuries like that. But now you have two injuries on different sides of your body that you have to work through. I think it takes a while to get back to a high condition level of what you were before. It takes a while. I don't know how your body responds. You know, and Key talked about this before in the first hour. I heard you guys. You know, look, when I had my left leg injury, it was like about a year later, I dislocated my right ankle because I was compensating. Like, I was naturally compensate. You can go through all the therapy in the world. You can be mindful of it. You can practice it, shifting your weight of your balance. But, you know, you end up compensating. So if he's had an ACL injury to the left leg and now he's having a potential injury with the right Achilles, if that's what's actually going down here, how do you not compensate again with the left leg? It just, these are things sometimes that can bottom out. I want to see Klay Thompson win more than anything. I love him as a player. He's one of the most dynamic players we have in the game. I just don't know how you come back from both these within the span of a year, like 2 years, and just be what you were before. I don't know.
Jason Williams joining us from his house on his own show. That's right. I just
Key, you are so mean, man. No. It's consistent, even with the Texans last night while we were live on air.
Hey, yo, that turtleneck was strong again, though. Your turtleneck game was strong again, man. Love the patterns as well.
I'm just saying, Bart, you know, somebody got to keep people guessing
turtleneck?
Out here.
Did you have that? Did you have a camera in that turtleneck, too?
I had it all packed away.
Turtleneck. Okay. Yeah. He looked. I thought he was, you know,
hey, Key,
60.
I saw
okay.
your little brother get drafted last night, Anthony Edwards, man. Y'all look just alike.
Anyway, look, so with the injury to Clay, where does this put the Warriors in the West? Yeah, I never really had them, Jay, as you know. I never had them contending with the Lakers or the Clippers. I thought that they would always be that fourth through sixth seed type team, but not unseating those two. Where does this put them?
Man, I think this puts them, talk about, you know, six, seven. Let's go through a key. Like, I would have Denver over them. I would have Portland over them. I would have Utah over them. I would have the Clippers, the Lakers, the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, the Phoenix Suns are coming, y'all. The Phoenix Suns are coming with Devin Booker, CP3, Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, DeAndre Ayton. They had a really good draft last night. They have pieces, too. Jalen Smith from Maryland. I like their sides. This is going to be another challenging year. It won't be as challenging as the year was that they had last year, because that was a pretty bottom-out year. They were playing with a lot of guys who weren't on NBA rosters, but it's still going to be a major challenge.
I tell you what, well, you know, they got one of the top front offices in all of the basketball, and we know that, you know, tomorrow is the start of free agency. And when you talk about getting another playmaker to play next to Curry to try and take some of the you know, volume off of him, who can potentially be available and what kind of moves can they make? We knew that. I always believed that when they traded for D'Angelo Russell and then they in turn turned him into Wiggins, it was always to move him in the future, never for them to play, you know, all together. That wasn't their idea of their big three.
The problem is, Bart, you were planning on making that move because you planned on having Klay Thompson. You plan to have Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry. Now that you don't have Klay Thompson, what assets do you really have to move? And you still have Klay Thompson's contract on your books. So, look, I mean, this team could be way over the salary cap. I don't know if you could bring in just another superstar, you know, with Draymond Green and his contract and Steph and Klay and Wiggins. I mean, the whole reason they did a sign and trade with D'Lo for a guy like Wiggins is to have another max contract on the books to potentially utilize it to package it with a selection in the draft to get a superstar. You can no longer do that. I think you're set with this roster.
Jay, we saw a lot of movement yesterday in the NBA with players bouncing around from team to team. Some guys never got a chance to land in their cities at all, even though they were traded days before, but they moved again yesterday. One name that we did not see move that we pretty much thought might be on the move was Russell Westbrook and the Houston Rockets. What happened there, and when can we expect for them to do anything?
Like I tried to tell you yesterday, Key, Raphael Stone, the first-year GM, has been somebody that's been, you know, just kind of raised within that organization, and it's very smart. And the question was, what was the trade value that you can get in return for Russell Westbrook? The market is not the same that it used to be for a guy like that. So even when you heard rumblings of John Wall, Raphael Stone and company for the Houston Rockets, like, well, we want more. We want more. And I don't think the Washington Wizards were willing to give up more than John Wall. That's why I said yesterday, this is going to be a hostage-like situation. These guys may not like being there, but Raphael Stone said things are going to get uncomfortable. You have to expect that because I'm not going to move you guys unless I feel like I am getting the value in return. And that's going to be a lot. I'm going to ask for a lot. If not, we're going to ride it out.
It's fair enough. I mean, this could be the most talented player, no matter how long Raphael Stone is an NBA GM with Houston or anybody else. This could be the most talented player he ever has in his organization. So you have to make sure you get the most that you can, especially when you're bringing in a first-time head coach like Steven Silas and completely moving on from the largely successful Daryl Morey
era. We're going to have Jay back here.
Stick around, Jay, for your show.
Well, hang on.
I will, Keyshawn. Thank you so much.
Jay obviously has an obsession with the NBA. We're going to talk about his other obsession, the New York Giants, here in just a second. Some big news coming out, even during the bye. You think the Giants would be quiet during the bye, but no, we got a big issue. We'll talk about it with Jay in just a second. This morning, we did just ask Jay, essentially, where does this leave the Warriors? That was a question Key asked. That's our Dr. Pepper Twitter question this morning. Where do they rank in the West if, huge caveat here, if there is no Klay Thompson? Top three seed, Bart's going that way. 4-8 seed, Key's more in the 4-6, but we'll put him there. You heard what Jay Will said as well. We want to hear from you. And we have 66% of you saying 4-8, right there with Key. Good, not great. The breast is brutal. Jay reeled off the amount of teams that are either there or coming, and coming fast. At interesting if true, does that sum up Sports Talk Radio in one sentence or what? At interesting if true on Twitter, hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, quote, as Key would say, I don't know, man, I got to see him first. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's a longtime listener. Quoting Key. That being said, let's see what pieces they bring in. Hit us up all morning, 888-SAY-ESPN, Key, J, and Z on Twitter. This is a huge story. This is the morning after the draft, the day before free agency, and both of those things completely overshadowed by the injury to Klay Thompson. Let's go from A to Z. And let's start in Major League Baseball. Robinson Cano has been suspended for the entire 2021 season for yet another violation of Major League Baseball's PED policy. This guy was once on a track to Cooperstown, and he completely has ruined his career and his reputation. He was suspended for 80 games back in 2018, Key.
I don't get it, though. I just don't get how you continue to take PEDs, knowing you're going to get caught at some point. Now you got to forfeit $24 million. You were trying to be good. Damn being good, I'll be sorry and get the $24 million.
Right.
Great day for the Mets yesterday. DJ LeMahieu, come on over, baby. We got money.
So basically what Bart is saying there essentially is if the $24 million comes off the Mets books, it'll be a combination of Seattle, his old team, and the Mets paying it. The Mets have a $24 million sort of hole they can fill. They have a new owner who's one of the richest guys in all of sports in Steve Cohen, and maybe DJ LeMahieu, who has been outstanding for the Yankees, comes to play for the crosstown Mets. Interesting, they can turn that negative of Robinson Cano into a positive. This is not a positive. This is a negative. The Giants have fired offensive line coach Mark Colombo after he had a verbal altercation with head coach Joe Judge. The Giants went out of their way to say it was not a physical confrontation, but reports, reputable reports, say that essentially Judge wanted to bring in some help for Colombo from one of his friends over at the Pats where Judge used to be. Colombo didn't take kindly to that, and then it all exploded. This is Frank Isola, Around the Horn panelist and longtime New York sports journalist, on what this says about the Giants.
To me, that would come across as a little dysfunctional, especially when you're 3-7 in the worst division in football, and I get that it's Joe Judge's first job. Who knows if it got physical? Clearly, it got ugly enough for them to fire him because they were bringing in a guy to serve as the consultant. They weren't bringing someone in to replace him, but clearly it got to some kind of level.
Essentially, Colombo said, I can do this job by myself. If you're wondering, Colombo himself, former first-round draft pick, offensive lineman with the Dallas Cowboys, and previously was the assistant offensive line coach in Big D.
Yeah, I played with him in Dallas, and he's a big dude. There's no question about it. So, if it was physical, we'll know when Joe Judge show up at a press conference. We'll certainly know if it was physical because Colombo is huge. And so when you look at it, it's one of those situations where Colombo was brought in by Jason Garrett because he coached with Jason Garrett at the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And when you're a new first-time head coach, and Jay Will, as well as thick-neck Bart knows this, that coaches only going to bring in certain guys when you're a first-time head coach. They may give you two buddies that you can bring in, but for the most part, the general manager is going to help you fill out your coaching staff. And I think this is a situation where Joe Judge allowed that to happen. And then when they looked at it, the offensive line, maybe the technique is bad, maybe they're missing some things. He said, hey, I just want to bring in a guy to sniff around, you know, the rest of the year before I fire you. Oh, okay. You know what? Damn that. We're going to fire you now because you don't want to follow what I'm saying. So I'm going to send the message not only to my coaching staff that I'm in charge,
right,
but I'm also going to send a message to the rest of the team like I've been doing all year long. Again, you don't want to listen? I'm telling you, it's one of those deals where it's like, Zubin, I need you to do this. And Zubin goes, no. Zubin, I just need you to do it.
You're not asking, you're telling.
Yeah, I'm not asking you. Oh, you don't want to do it. Okay.
Key, right. Did you say sniffing around? Were you talking about Antonio Brown?
Oh, sorry. Whoa.
I got this track.
Well, I'll tell you what. You only get one time to make a first impression. You get,
these guys.
As a new coach, you only get one time to make a first impression. And he looked at Colombo, and he looked at him in the words of Captain Phillips, I'm the captain now.
Yeah,
either
absolutely.
Either you're going to get on board and do things my way. This is the way we do it here. I'm the boss. At the end of the day, this goes on my permanent record. So he did it with Golden Tate the week before, and he did it with Colombo this week. So now everybody in the locker room take notice.
Yeah.
If you don't get online and we're not pulling in the same direction, I'm going to get you up out of here.
And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. I think Joe Judge is certainly putting his foot down. I'm fine with that. But here's what I would say. Win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Win the division, and you won't have any issues. Next year, win the division. The year after, win the division and make it to the playoffs and make a deep run. Because if you don't, at some point, it's going to fall on deaf ears. The toughness, it's my team. But
it's working,
at some point,
Key.
No, right now.
Right now.
And you know how that stuff works, Jay. Right now, today, it works. And I have no problem with it, Z. But 2 years from now, if you're still talking like that and we still sitting in the third spot in the division, you know what's going to happen.
He got to get his GM first, though, Key.
Jay, you get the last word being the resident Giant fan. Go ahead.
I agree wholeheartedly with everything Key just said. As long as you win, everything is good. But when you start losing and you start going in a completely different direction, that hard love, it's not going to pan out. You won't get the same kind of Bill Belichick love. Like, you'll be on your way out the door.
There's no question about it. That's a really good point. We should also mention the Giants are on the bye week. We'll see what happens when they come out of it. Stronger for this. Remember, he's laid down the law with players like Golden Tate, now laying down the law with assistant coaches like Mark Colombo. So you have to have that consistent message. As Key has said, you got to be consistent the whole way. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. On the way, the NBA's best insider. With the very latest on the biggest news in the NBA, the injury to Klay Thompson.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Woj is with us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Woj, what can you tell us about all of the moves Daryl Morey has made, what that has been like out of the gate here in Philadelphia, moving and shaking the way he did in Houston? Have we lost Woj? Adrian, you with us?
I think we've lost him, and we may have lost Jay.
We'll call him
as well.
Back here.
I'm right here.
Oh, are you? Oh, okay.
Jay, why don't you tell us what you think of all the moves that Daryl Morey has made here out of the gate in Philly, operating like he's still in Houston while we get Woj back on the line?
Don't worry. You've been calling the closer. I'm right here for you.
Go
brother.
For
I'm
it.
Right
what do you got?
Look, I was blown away with Daryl Morey's moves last night. Look, when you're able to get Al Horford off your books, Josh Richardson was a decent deal, but you combine that and you're able to get a guy like Seth Curry, who gives you shooting from the outside. Draft wise, when you look through, I'm actually pulling up my profile here. Give me 1 second, just because there was 9,000 picks, and I feel like I have them all in my brain. but I look, that was one of the biggest things that you needed if you were the 76ers. I'm pulling them up right now. Give me a second.
Didn't they get Green as well?
Danny Green?
They got Danny Green.
So they had this elite outside shooting now, just opening the floor for Embiid to work. Do you think that Embiid will work more in the post this year now that he has the outside shooter and not fall in love with the three-point line?
Danny Green's still on the tad bit older side. I mean, we saw that towards the end with the Lakers. I think Steph Curry was big. But I also think Tyrese Maxey, I mean, Woj, I think we have you back now. The moves that they were able to get, again, Tyrese Maxey, you know, now you have that with Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle. They really made some impressive moves to kind of reorchestrate this roster last evening.
They did. Maxey is somebody, our draft analysts, Mike Schmitz, Jonathan Givony, were really high on, felt he was a top 10 level pick in this draft. And, you know, Terrence Ferguson from Oklahoma City, another young player who didn't go to college, went down, played in Australia, drafted by the Thunder a couple of years ago. He comes in, and obviously Seth Curry, who comes in the Josh Richardson deal from Dallas. And Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, since they've come in together, you know, finding some guys who can space the floor, especially with Ben Simmons on it, who's a non-shooter, and Joel Embiid. That was their goal, continue to build around those two, find some shooting. You know, Philly really missed J.J. Redick last year, and I still don't know that they replaced Redick with that group, but they brought in some more options. And I think and moving on from Al Horford's contract, it was originally a four-year, $110 million deal. You know, they get that money off long-term to OKC. It was a good night for the Sixers. It's been a good stretch for them since Daryl Morey took over.
Adrian, the New York Knicks went large in the draft last night with bigs and kind of putting some pieces together. What more moves tomorrow's free agency? Are there more moves to be made by them?
Well, Gordon Hayward, I think they're monitoring what happens with he and the Celtics. He's got a contract option that he's got to decide on today, whether he's going to opt into the last year of his deal. If he were to become a free agent, unrestricted, they're one of the teams with cap space who could sign him perhaps to maybe a shorter-term deal at a very large number. I know that's a player that interests them. You know, we'll see there. I think for the Knicks, they're not looking to try to tie up any long-term money right now. They want to be able to be a player in the next couple years in free agency, be a team that has some assets if some big players become available in trades that they can get involved with. They don't have, they hadn't had this year coming in, you know, the kind of trade assets they needed to be involved with big stars who came in. So they've got to replenish that with the organization. And, you know, they started out, say, Obi Toppin was a player that they had wanted all along. They didn't know that they could get him at 8. They were worried Cleveland might take him at 5, but Toppin made it down to them.
Speaking of big stars, we know the Nets are looking for potentially that third star. It's been rumored that they want to try and make a trade with Harden. Yesterday, he gets Shamit. When will we see this puzzle start to come together?
Well, James Harden's a long shot for them right now. Houston hasn't shown any real interest in engaging Brooklyn on a trade. Maybe that changes down the road. But Harden's still got 2 years left on his deal in Houston. They don't have to move quickly with him. They may or may not even really love the assets that would be available to them in a trade. I think they'd like to canvas the whole league eventually for James Harden. But Landry Shamet, you know, he knows the division, started his career in Philly, went to the Clippers, another rotation guard for them. They picked up Bruce Brown from the Pistons the other day, who could really defend. He's a guard they'll use off the bench. You know, and you're starting to see them put a group together in Brooklyn now. Unclear whether Spencer Dinwiddie is back this season. He's a player certainly that going into the last year of his deal may be available in trade talks. So they built up their guard depth here, and as they prepare for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to finally play together with the Nets.
Well, it's a two-part question here, and I need a thorough breakdown. First off, what the hell happened with Bogdanovich not going to Milwaukee? And then the second part of this question, what then happens to Giannis? Because that seems like that was one of the most loaded starter units in the entire league with Bogdanovich in that lineup with Jrue Holiday and the rest of the cast of characters that they have there with the Bucks.
Yeah, Jay, those are tricky, those sign and trade frameworks of deals. And essentially, Milwaukee and Sacramento negotiated a trade that they were going to bring to Bogdanovich once free agency started tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And if the Bucks and Bogdanovich could make the money work on a new contract, he's a restricted free agent again in Sacramento, then they could have completed it. Essentially, the teams felt like they didn't have a pathway here to wait and get this done by Friday. There was just too many obstacles in the way. Bogdanovich is going to go out on the market on Friday as a restricted free agent. Sacramento could negotiate a signed trade with another team. Bogdanovich could go get an offer sheet that would and bring that back to the Kings and see if they match it. So, you know, the Bucks, you know, can start to look elsewhere and see if there's a way to improve their team. Obviously, they brought in Drew Holiday, and Bogdanovich would be a big addition for them. But I think, you know, for Giannis, he's been in lockstep with this organization in the offseason. They've talked a lot about players he would like to see them add, and they certainly listen intently to him, and they want to get him to sign that long-term deal. You know, it remains to be seen if there's no Bogdanovich, how that would impact Giannis's thinking. I generally think Giannis considers a lot of factors, including among them the teammates. I'm not sure there's any one player that's going to keep or send Giannis, you know, either keep him in town or send him out. I don't know if that signing, as impactful as it might have been for the team, would turn this against the Bucks.
Well, it's very quickly. Could they get potentially Victor Oladipo? Is that possible?
Well, that was a player the Bucks had talked about with the Pacers. It remains to be seen if they have the assets to do that trade. If you're Indiana and you're going to trade Victor Oladipo, you want a significant return after that trade with New Orleans, where they gave up 3 first-round picks, 2 pick swaps. Unclear if the Bucks would have the assets that Indiana would want for Victor Oladipo.
Fair enough. And we should also mention, for more on the Bucks, as if there isn't enough swirling around them, and you really want to go into a deep dive, the Woj podcast special, the Giannis draft, 3 parts, all available to download wherever you get podcasts. Woj got a one-on-one with Giannis as well, talked to a bunch of people around him. So his thought process, short and long term, is an NBA topic to discuss. But go inside the mind of the Greek Freak with Woj anywhere you get podcasts. Adrian, thank you very much. Free agency tomorrow. We know you're busy. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys.
That's the NBA's best insider. On the way, Obi Toppin is a New York native.
Welcome home, baby.
He was born in New York, but is he born to be a star with the Knicks? J. Will has some thoughts on that. The NBA draft has come and gone. A life-changing moment for so many guys. The start of what we hope will be great careers for all of them. We got free agency on the way tomorrow. Training camps open December 1st. The season, December 22nd. Here we go, Bart.
I wonder if Obi took notes that J. Will wasn't on board with the pick yesterday. He's going to put a poster J. Will up in his locker to use for motivation.
Jay, what do you say?
Nah, Bart. I got all love. Look, if Obi Toppin played in March Madness, we'll be talking about Obi Toppin as a top 4 pick.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Right, like Patrick Williams, a person not a lot of people know, shot up the draft boards, and he came off the bench for Florida State, right, because of the sheer talent. But if Obi Toppin was in our face all the time, I think he would have been a top four draft pick. I just don't know if I like the fit with the New York Knicks. How many bigs do you need to have on your roster?
But this is the beginning of the puzzle, right, though, Jay? Like, this is just the first move, or hopefully of many moves, you know, during the Thibodeau era. So this is a guy that they identified, that they wanted. He's a native son. He's a guy that's going to give them some physicality. He's a 40% three-point shooter. So maybe this is just the first move, and some of those bigs are going to start coming out the books, because you know that Julius Randle isn't long-term for the Knicks.
Understood. Julius Randle signed that three-year, $63 million deal. You have Mitchell Robinson. Look, you got some other
Bob City, baby.
Todd Gibson was there. Is there. Bobby Portis is a team – I think a team, right, as far as it relates to free agent, the team has the option on him. But there's just a slew of bigs. And I guess I go to this place with Alfred Payton, with R.J. Barrett. Like, who makes everybody's life easy for the Knicks right now? Like, I thought for sure that they were going to take Tyrese Halliburton. Like, I heard from so many GMs, so many scouts, that he was a guy that was moving up the draft board. He went 12 to Sacramento, and I thought that was the steal of the draft. Steal the draft. He just makes everybody's life easier. I love Obi Toppin. I want to see Obi Toppin win more than anybody. I'm just saying, man, like who makes life easier for the Knicks? Nobody.
Well,
especially even, you have Obi Toppin and Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson all on the court together with R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett struggled to shoot.
Well, it's not a lot of time that's left between now and the start of the NBA season to figure out exactly what your roster is going to be made of. Free agency starts tomorrow, Jay. So who knows where the Knicks may go. Fair. They got a load of bigs, but they certainly need to continue to try and build a team.
I'm with you, K. I just, my thing is that it just, I like Leon Rose. I love Worldwide West. I love Tibbs. I think the pick is a good pick, but I can't make an overall assessment right now if I don't see what pieces they're going to try to move for, because right now they just have a slew of bigs, and other than R.J. Barrett, who we saw struggle a little bit last year because nobody else made the game easy, that's where this team is.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. For those that are not familiar, Leon Rose, the former player agent, now the president of the Knicks Worldwide West, connected in basketball as much as anybody. He's in the front office. Tibbs, of course, is Tom Thibodeau, about to enter his first year in New York with Obi Toppin. By the way, they picked up Emmanuel quickly with the 25th pick. The Thunder traded that pick reportedly to the Knicks. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Shell. Get more time to listen to our show by going to Shell and getting three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus, then save up with the Fuel Rewards Program. Finally, snack up to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. Quickly is a Baltimore kid, played at Kentucky, headed to New York. Obi Toppin is a New York kid who played at Dayton, heading back to New York. How about that? The city where you were born. Now a chance to be the centerpiece of one of the great franchises in NBA history. Obi, after being drafted with our Malika Andrews on the homecoming.
If being drafted wasn't special enough, yep, that's right. Point to that hat one more time. You are coming home. Why is it so important to you to be putting on a Knicks jersey? Why is it so important to you to be putting on that jersey?
I'm from New York. That's why it's important. Me repping my city is, it's amazing. A lot of people pray to be in this position, and I'm not going to take it for granted. I promise you that.
Jay, in our final minute, like you said, he was the National Player of the Year. He'll forever be a legend at Dayton, and maybe he's just beginning the start of a legendary career in New York. You can sense how bad he wants it.
And Zubin, that answer right there, the talent speaks for itself, but that's what New York Knicks fans want. They want to hear top-tier talent say, this is where I'm from. I'm going to rep my city, and I'm here. So I think about, you know how New York is, guys. Like, we're there every single day. If he shows any ounce or any glimpse of superstardom,
Like, everybody's on board with that if you're New York Knicks fans. You need some glimpse of light. You need some glimpse of hope. And Obi Toppin's answer to how he got drafted really set the bar for how you feel about him as a player in a New York Knicks uniform.
That's well said, Jay. Thanks for being with us for the hour. I know you're working on fumes right now because of all the coverage last night. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Man, you wasted that sweater for 1 hour, man. That's a two-hour sweater.
Thanks for joining your show from home, Jay. We'll see you tomorrow.
Last thing I quickly wanted to mention, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, but don't sleep on quickly. The SEC coaches voted him the SEC Player of the Year at Kentucky. That is no small thing to do that in that league. All the attention on Toppin, but keep an eye on quickly.
No, you have to, and I think, you know, you look at where he was drafted at 25th spot, so a lot of people are like, well, they're drafting bigs. They got too many bigs on the team, but they keep forgetting that Quickley's right there.
And we got a big problem for the Warriors, which we'll discuss on the way.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.